You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Yes, and it's most likely the mic that most people aren't wanting to hear on the mic, because I assume that they were expecting to hear the other mic, seeing as how he's the mic that started this podcast with you 7 years ago.
There's too many mics.
Hey, the gang's all here, folks.
It's Mike, Mike, and Mike. Oh, wait.
That's right.
It's funny because a Mike and a Steve started a geek network, and then another Mike and a Steve started a geek network.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, yeah, and for those that have commented, no, I will not be clicking. at least trying not to.
Here you go. I got it. You people want clicks?
Well,
there's your clicks.
Yeah, well, it's funny because they don't make a quiet mouse, which you would think they would. Nobody
would
wants
think
to
they
hear
would
the
by now. Uh huh.
Because like, there's oftentimes I'm clicking between tabs for information.
Yep.
Or I'm playing a game. In the instance of certain games, you can use a gamepad so you won't hear it. Star Trek Online, you cannot. So, that being said, welcome to 7 years of Altered Geek.
Mm-hmm. We started with the BS that was BVS, and we ended on cancel culture by canceling ourselves. Oh, wait, oops, that's not true.
Yeah, we got in so much trouble for that. People were people were like, you guys suck. You're uninformed.
Anyway. So, yes,
some of it might have been, but
7 years of this podcast. Wow. It's an accomplishment. It really, really is.
It's kind of difficult when you think about it. I mean, a lot of podcasts don't actually make it past, like, episode 4.
True.
And then other ones don't even make it past, like, year 1.
So when you put it all together, you have a pretty blasted good shot.
We
granted,
should.
370 episodes later, I mean, I'm not going nowhere.
Hey, you know what? Here's the thing. When I lose my voice, when I can no longer talk, when I can no longer say fluckety fluck fluck fluck, that's when I will give this up. I started this for myself because I needed something to do. Yes, I absolutely love that people have listened, continue to listen, want to interact with me, and I genuinely, like, I've told you this off air, I haven't said it on air, but I am, even though I'm not in my normal podcast machine mode at this point, it's more like, hey, I'm listening to all this new shit and I'm trying my best to cultivate new friendships, new relationships by listening to these shows. Like, I know this is not the show for this, but I'm just going to say this anyway. I've been listening to the Transmissions podcast, which is a Transformers. It's basically,
is that a Chris McFeely one?
No. That's Transformers the Basics, and that's not a podcast. It's a video series.
Okay.
Transmissions is with Charles Shelton, Jeremy Dennis, Mike something and Daryl something. I'm sorry, Mike and Daryl. I don't remember your last names off the top of my head. But they're basically, they do news, they do comics, they do TV, they do basically what we do on all things Transformers, except quite frankly, they cover it all, and they cover it a little bit better than we do sometimes because they're more into every part of Transformers than we on all things Transformers pick and choose what we're going to do. They kind of have people that are covering everything.
Well, and so does TF Radio.
True, with Brian Kilby and Radio Free Cybertron.
Those guys are the OGs anyway, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, they are. But Transmissions recently did an interview with F.J. DeSanto, who is the showrunner for the new Netflix Transformers War for Cybertron trilogy series. And that was a really, really good interview. And like I said, I know this is Altered Geek and not all things Transformers, but I'm pointing out the, like, you know, I'll pull it up right now.
You're pointing out the fact that they actually covered something and it was good.
Well, no, I'm pointing out the fact that I'm listening to things. Like, I'm not just...
Running your horizons.
Like, yeah. When I was producing stuff... I had completely stopped. Like, when I would listen to our stuff is when I would be editing it. And then once we put it online, I don't listen to it again because I already heard it when I edited it. But, like, I've been listening to Michael Rosenbaum's Inside of You, where he interviews various people. Like, he's interviewed Justin Long. He interviewed Dr. Drew. He interviewed Grant Gustin. I think the first interview I think I've mentioned this on this podcast before. The first interview I heard him do was the one with Stephen Amell, where Stephen Amell had a breakdown on the podcast and had to come back and read and finish it later. So my point is that in my off time of not producing the mass production that I usually do, I'm doing my best to broaden my podcasting horizons by listening to other things to figure out how other people are doing what they're doing, to see how I can evolve what we do in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that. And I probably don't listen to as many as I probably should of new podcasts. But, I mean, occasionally I manage it, but quite honestly, I don't have time. Because, one, I don't drive anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anywhere to go for work. Because I walk down my basement stairs and, ta-da! Office. Although, not for much longer. Because we sold our house, and we're moving because, quite honestly, we're trying to move somewhere closer to all three of our jobs. My wife works at the church. She works at the local YMCA. I work at my job. And I'm already, like, close to 30 minutes away. And her job, the one where she cleans, that one's 30 minutes away. And so, quite honestly, it's just hectic. Plus, when you have neighbors that kind of suck, it's all the more reason to get out. Plus we were kind of pressured into this house with our realtor because we were in one of those weird situations where we were renting from a property management company and he was also the realtor. And the only way you could get out of your lease was to use him as your realtor. But the other kind of crappy instance was they wouldn't do month to month.
Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah. But it was the cheapest place for the biggest amount of property that we had when we moved here. To Colorado. And so we were a little irritated with the whole process. Plus, he was like, it's a house. It's like the last one you looked at. And we're like, no, it's not. This one's cleaner. This one's not. This one has this wrong with it. This one doesn't. And so, like, he was just being totally non-helpful. So we ended up buying this house that we're in. And quite honestly, there's nothing wrong with the house. If it weren't for the fact that it's on a busy street, which we didn't know because when we looked at it, it was after a snowstorm, didn't think anything of it. And then the fact that the neighbor's yards were covered up by snow. And the one guy next to us, he just comes up, just waltzing into my garage, smoking, doesn't speak English. And it's like, dude, I don't smoke. And he tries to offer it for me. And he's like, and I'm like, please go. And the house, and the thing is this family owns the house next to us. They own the house on the other side of us. Then they own a house two houses down. Like, it's the whole family on this block. So it's like super, they're super kind of trashy in a sense. And they, in the most polite way I can say it, are kind of trashy because they have no lawn in their backyard. They're growing stuff, and because our house is like a two-story in the back of the house, but on a ranch in the front because of the way the house sits, you can see it And the problem is, too, they have 30, 40 pigeons that live on their roof.
God.
And they sleep underneath the sunroof. Or the solar panels.
Jeez.
So, quite literally, it's irritating. And I get woke up by it every day. So what we're going to do is, we've been vetting the yards too next to us. If they don't take care of their yard, it's also another red flag of, you know, but,
right.
But we haven't been that picky over it. We've just been kind of picky over the neighborhood in general. And if it's by a busy street, cause we want quiet, but we also want some land and we want a decent house. And so it's kind of, mm-hmm. you know, those little places to, you know, fold into one. And the unfortunate part, like I said, is that, and then, that we keep getting outbid on houses. We actually overbid on a house, by like 11 grand and still lost it.
Oh,
they went with a lesser offer for whatever reason. And it was, mind you, it needed a lot of work, but it had a ton of land, and it was a 1987. It basically was a spitting image of my Michigan house.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to buy it, and not because of that, but because of the land. And so, we put in an offer on it, and they actually went with somebody who paid, less because of whatever reason, probably a cash offer or something. I don't know, but it was infuriating. So anyways, we found a house that hasn't been listed yet. It says coming soon on the listing sites. And so, we went up to them. We're like, can we make an offer on your house? We actually went to their house. and cause Mary's like, what do we have to lose? We keep losing houses anyway. So, so we did that. And, they unfortunately, like their realtor is still going to, keep listed.
Yeah.
We're going to see if there's other offers, which I've seen that come across a lot. And what's been happening is, people, like, I swear these realtors are super greedy because we met the owners and we go through a broker, and I know nobody cares about my house situation, but, but
hey, it's all right.
But the people though, we're going through a broker and, they don't take any commission. It's $600. They list your house. Boom, you're done.
Right.
And so we were hoping that, you know, people would be reasonable. Anyways, these realtors, as our brokers put it, has to assert themselves and make themselves feel important. So they, you know, they tell the homeowner, oh, you don't have to take that offer. Let's wait and see what happens. Which is why we keep losing houses. Even though we have the financing and we have the money to buy these stupid houses. So the church has a leftover house that we're going to rent from their property for the remaining time. Hopefully we get this house. I should know next week or the week after, kind of depending on what the situation is. These people are trying to move at the right. end of October. So I'm unsure what's going to happen as far as my internet usage over the next however long.
So basically what he means, folks, is the 7-year anniversary of Altered Geek might be the last episode for the next little while.
Could be.
I mean, you know, I've said this since we started. Life comes before podcasting, and you have to, you know, take care of yourself and your family and all of that before giving out free content. So, you know, that's just the way it is. Cause
speaking of free content, Comic-Con.
Yes. Comic-Con.
Coming to a Comic-Con near you.
I'm coming to a home near you. Cause Comic-Con at home.
Yeah. So what were your thoughts about this? Now, granted, I enjoyed the fact that it was free.
Yep.
But I felt like there was a lot of wasted time. And when I say that, I mean it with the utmost respect, because I know these people are just trying to put on a show to tease things or to fill the slots. And they did have quite a few different things in it. But my entire thought process on it anyway, was that, you know, they seem to talk about some of the things a little bit too much that we'd already heard a ton about. Or they had like cast interviews or table reads or things like that, which are fine. I mean, I know they do those at Comic-Con and those were kind of neat, but honestly, it was kind of flat being that they didn't actually have the personal dynamic.
I think that because I want to cut it a lot of slack, because in what, 50 years, first time in 50 years that San Diego has not hosted the San Diego Comic-Con because, hello, the virus and everything else and everybody's at home or whatever, and no large gatherings of more than, can you imagine if we were two of the lucky 50 people that got into a reduced comma, like that would be amazing. But I think that this year, hopefully it's the only year that this happens, with Comic-Con at home and the technology and everything else, it's pushing the technology to the technology limits. Like we are extremely technologically advanced, but at the same time, when everybody is using it at the same time, it's a taxing toll on what the technology is able to produce. So, you know, the internet's not going to be here forever, folks.
Well, I what's funny is I watched the Star Trek panel. That was really the main one that I paid attention to. Not that I didn't care about the other ones. I did. But that being said, I felt like we were getting kind of shafted on some of it. Like, yeah, they had Lower Decks, which whoop-de-doo. Like, I mean, it's not the truck for me. I'm not going to crap on it. I don't particularly care for the humor in it or the animation style. I'm going to try it. Trailers suck generally. just putting that out there. I am going to give it a shot. I'm not saying that I'm going to continue watching it. I probably will discuss like some of that when we're doing like another episode of this.
Right.
But yeah. So anyways, I felt like that was kind of like meh. The voice cast was interesting. And then they had, you know, some stuff about Discovery, you know, which kind of told some stuff, but again, I didn't feel it was that pertinent. And then Picard, it was a lot of rehashed conversation that we've heard them all say a bazillion times. So, like I said, I wasn't too keen, at least on that one.
Yeah, and right now, folks, if you go over to CBS All Access, Picard Season 1 is free to stream.
It is?
That's what I've been seeing in advertisements.
They're trying so hard to get that show to matter. Not that it doesn't. I am grateful that they did bring it back. I'm not particularly thrilled with some of the goofyisms that they've brought in. But, you know, it is what it is. So, it's still Trek. It's bringing somebody else to it. It's, even though it may not be my cup of tea, it's, you know, everybody has their own flavor of stuff as it comes out. So, kind of like TMNT or Transformers, and, you know, like, I'm not a fan of the recent Ninja Turtles, but, you know, it's bringing people to it. And the thing is, you know, you wait long enough, it'll circle back around to what you enjoyed anyway. As I've noticed with, like, Transformers, we got, you know, after Beast Wars, we got kind of a crapshoot with, you know, Rid and the Unicron trilogy. And then we kind of went back and got animated. And quite honestly, like, that was kind of the pinnacle of what we got, and then it started going back up. We got, you know, Prime, and then it kind of, the new Robots in Disguise kind of fizzled out for me again, and then we got, you know, the Machinima, which was so-so. I liked the animation. I didn't particularly care for the five-minute episodes and the...
Yeah, the shorter time frame on it was a little much, but overall, for what it was, because it was the shorter time frame, I didn't have too much of a problem with it. I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed, you know, some of the story bits were a little much, but by the time they got to the third one, I think it was Prime Wars or whatever.
Well, they had Optimus Prime. And I would have loved for Gary to have come back instead of getting the deep voice that we got. But, you know, I was fortunate and happy that Primal was in it. The new Cyberverse, we've got Cheetor in it. So, I mean, it, like I said, wait long enough and there'll be something that comes along that you can enjoy again. And so I guess that's what I'm trying to make the point of, is even if you don't like it, like, I'm not a fan of Discovery. I find a lot of canon and plot holes, and people are like, well, you should let it do what it's going to do. And I get that to an extent. But if you're trying to build off of 50 years of canon, then it's kind of ridiculous in my mind to try and retcon it heavily. But like I said, they corrected it by the end of season two, and so therefore we're kind of back in the same boat of, you know, it should be things that I enjoy again with Strange New Worlds. And so, like I said, things kind of circle back around. But yeah, I mean, I was kind of, I was intrigued by the Comic-Con. I've saved multiple things more so for rewatch later. I know they've got it on their YouTube channel, but quite honestly, I don't want to watch it on demand. Plus, if I'm on the go, it's easier if I download episodes later. And I much prefer that. So yeah, that's kind of the boat I'm in at this point with some of it. But I was grateful that they did do a virtual Comic-Con. It's the first time I've been able to go to technically an SDCC one.
Yeah, it was super fun. It was interesting. It was, you know, like I said, it was an experiment to see how it would all work. And yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where it was so different that I will say that not having it in person probably hurt a lot of mom and pop retailer shops, because some of the people I know that run certain online stores, because some of these companies are going with big box exclusives versus just having stuff, like, that was one big thing that came out of Comic-Con this year, that the big box stores and the bots for the pre-orders, like, you look at the NECA Turtles stuff and how their Target exclusives and people with, you know, bots that buy up stock immediately and it's sold out and this, that, and the other thing and everything else. And it was a nightmare. It was like, specifically to my interests, I'll just say this, the Funko Shop, their SDCC shared exclusives that were supposed to be on Funko Shop, those were gone instantaneously, but that's old hat with Funko, sadly. Because people will get on there and just keep buying. And I guess Funko had issues with their load times or their screen times, because somebody would go on there and, like, for example, this is not out yet, but I know it's coming. Someone would go on there and grab a Transformers Funko Pop G1 Megatron. It would be in their cart. They would be on the shipping screen. They would be on the shipping screen for 7 minutes. They would get to the final whatever, and then it's not in the cart anymore.
Yeah, see, that to me is kind of crappy.
But it's not just Funko that happened to. It was a bunch of other people as well.
No, and I'm not blaming Funko. I'm just saying.
Right, right.
It's kind of just crappy in general how that process works because the website can't take it or people are, you know, scalping where they can. It's not easy to make money when you're, you know, or I guess it's easier to make money if you're not there. Because you can just use the internet and the power of the internet and bots, and you can do whatever you need to do. Almost sounded so Phil Lamar. That dude's awesome. Anyways, so I mean, I'm a huge fan of the fact that they did do a Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be worse. It was a great experiment.
Yep.
And so therefore I look forward to seeing what they do with it again.
Absolutely. And again, like we said, it's nice that no one got the experience that it would be to go to San Diego and see it in person, but for everyone to get it for free, especially in these times of COVID and everything else that's going on, it's just one of those things where, oh, this is nice. This is something to look forward to. This is something that, you know, the Comic-Con International YouTube channel will have the videos up there, unless, you know, CBS and Fox and everybody else gets copyright stricken by their own stuff.
Yeah, that was another thing that was super funny to me. There were a bunch of companies that got copywritten strikes by their own content, which never happens.
That never happens.
It was hilarious to me, just because of the fact that they were playing their own videos, their own trailers, and getting shut down for it. So, in all honesty, like I was laughing at the fact that happened, because a lot of times, like, we get flagged for stuff, and it's something super minor. Like, it's not even anything, like, worth, you know, throwing a big fit over. And they played, like, whole trailers, and they got flagged.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just crazy. A few things that I'm looking forward to that came out of Comic-Con. I cannot wait for, and I know this is more of a me thing than a you thing, but Phineas and Ferb, Candace Against the Universe on Disney Plus. That's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to whatever IDW is doing. I'm looking forward to, obviously, Transformers War for Cybertron Siege. I will tell people that may not go to the Transmissions podcast and listen to that interview with FJ DeSanto, even though you should. If you listen to it, he tells you what you're going to expect from the Netflix series as far as the longevity. Each series is going to be 6 episodes, so 18 episodes for the entire trilogy.
You know they're going to get Beast Wars by the end of it.
Yeah, Kingdom, yep.
Yeah, I'm like, if they pull YouTubers all the time and pull people that are of prominence, I honestly... I better be Megatron. Beast Wars Megatron.
I'm gonna hold my tongue because I don't know, and I'm not. I can't even talk because it's just heaven forbid I say something on one of the GCRN podcasts that goes viral, and next thing I know, we're in trouble again.
Oh, you know something?
No, not really, but...
Tell me off air.
Well, yeah, that's the point.
Anyways. So moving on, in safety regions, we also have the fact that MP3s are 25 years old.
Yes.
Which is amazing. I didn't realize that they've been around that long, to be honest. But I think that it's great because we're podcasters and we live in MP3.
Absolutely.
Remember when Napster and all those things were like such a huge thing?
Oh, yeah.
It was, yeah.
And I completely missed the, like, I was very late to the party on the whole look for free music online thing. Because I never got into Napster. Sadly, I was reduced to LimeWire.
See, I used Napster briefly before it went down. And then I used LimeWire. I used Kazaa, Morpheus, WinMX. There was another one.
I had used LimeWire and Kazaa a couple of times,
Yeah, I can't remember what the other... There was one more. And to be honest, like, I can't remember what it was. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I, for the first time, actually tried YouTube music the other day.
Yeah.
Not bad, actually. I don't like the cost, which is like $9 a month. I think that it's not bad because it cuts out all the commercials. Mm-hmm. It cuts out the intro crap. Like if you're listening to a YouTuber, for instance, that does a parody of certain music,
right.
They actually cut out them talking at the beginning and the end.
Oh.
Depending on, I think they have to trigger it that way or like plan it that way when they're building it. But I was quite amazed that they had that set up because I was able to play a bunch of, because what it boiled down to is I was trying to play music while I was doing some cleaning at the church with Mary, and I was like, okay, this is just getting ridiculous at this point, because I was having to skip constantly, and I couldn't get my playlist to play, but miraculously, once I got the YouTube music, it played fine, and you can turn your screen off. But I think it's a little bit much yet, how much it costs. But I didn't dislike the service. If it were like $4.99, I have a feeling I would probably keep it. Because it's more likely for me to use. But again, that kind of boils down to the whole MP3 thing anyway. But
right, yeah, no, absolutely. I've been using Spotify since, I think, 2017 or 2018. I think 2017.
And that's free,
Well, it is, yes, but you can also get an actual paid membership. You can get Spotify Premium. And when Karen and I got together, I was like, hey, you have Spotify. I have Spotify. They have this thing called Spotify Family. Instead of us both paying $9.99 or whatever it was, I don't remember what it was, we each still have our individual accounts, except it's just under one banner, Spotify Premium for Families, I believe. And it's like under $20 a month for the two of us. It's like $16.34 or something, which it really, really works. I did actually try out a 30-day trial of Amazon Music. Only because I'll put it to you this way, folks. I grew up with mostly rock and roll, but when I got to the 90s and I ended up in Kentucky for 25 years, I went a little bit country. And sadly, the only place you can really get the actual Garth Brooks tracks, because he has a deal with Amazon Music, is Amazon Music. So I tried out the 30-day free trial of Amazon Music, and I dug it. I thought it was great. I thought it was really cool, but I still prefer Spotify over anything at this point because I like the UI the most. Hell, I even listen to a lot of podcasts on Spotify. I'm like, anybody that says, for example, say a friend of ours, whomever, insert name here. Hey, I was on this podcast. My first question, is that show on Spotify?
Is it on Spotify?
Because I don't want to shut up. Because I don't want to have to, like, I'm working from my phone. I'm not on my computer. I really don't want to have to go to 20 million different websites to listen to all these podcasts. So
I get it.
I guess that's just me and my first world problems, considering there's more to worry about in the world than where you can listen to podcasts or music or whatever. But you know what, folks? We need some sort of entertainment. Like I mentioned earlier, something to look forward to with the comic, so, you know, some of the Comic-Con stuff. Mighty Ducks finally hit Disney Plus, the very first Mighty Ducks film. And then the other two sequels are going to hit later this year. And I had mentioned that to a friend of ours, and he's like, yeah, but I wish they were there now. I said, well, at least it's something to look forward to, because it's something that this person and I both enjoy, is those three films. And I'm like, well, hey, you know, is in October. Neil? No. No, it is not Neil. I will state for the record that my love of the Mighty Ducks is not shared by TV's Mr. Neil, I don't think. I've never actually heard Neil talk about the Mighty Ducks movies.
He's probably like, it's a travesty. It needs to be burned. I don't know. I could be wrong. But I know that we had a conversation about sequels, and he was like, some movies just don't need those.
And I'm like, why? I was looking, and this is behind the scenes.
Ghostbusters 2 and Caddyshack 2, I kind of agree with him, but I get that it's some things are entries to certain people to geekdom, and so.
Hey, I probably would have never noticed Beverly Hills Cop if it wasn't for Beverly Hills Cop 2. But anyway. No, the whole looking forward to, because. Here's the thing. We had Comic-Con. We had San Diego Comic-Con at home this year. What are the holidays going to look like this year? I've heard people say that there have been Halloween things on store shelves already. I have not actually seen this myself, but I've seen people on Facebook say that there have been Halloween stuff on shelves already, and I'm like, it's not even August yet. What's going on here?
It's Christmas in July.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's been a strange year, and I think it's going to continue that way.
Yeah.
Kind of jumping ship a little bit to different topics. Something that kind of sucks. This happened to Steve Bloom. He had a live stream, or not a live stream, but he was giving out free autographs. People would send him stuff, right. You know, as with a return label and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, people took advantage of him and his good intentions and sent, you know, way too many things, and then would sell them for enormous profit. Or abused his time with unrealistic expectations, and he basically pleaded with people not to do this, not to ruin it for everyone, and he's like, he says, I can't allot all my time to a free service and constantly be abused. He says he really didn't want to do it, but he had to shut down his P.O. box, so all items would be returned to sender. He says, you know, this doesn't mean that you still can't get personalized stuff. He says, just, you know, resetting to go through regular channels like everybody else. So now he does like signings through his live stream and announced certain things on, you know, Instagram or things like that. But he's not doing, you know, through the original methods anymore.
And it makes sense because, you know what? Here's the thing. Somebody asked me, and I've done this before, so it was only because I was desperate more so than anything else. I've sold autographed CDs before. They were not personalized to me. They were just, hey, the band signed this. You can purchase it kind of thing. It's a huge difference for me to to sell something that is just the band's signatures versus, say, someone who's famous in the Transformers world that says, to Mike, all the best, and then they put their name, you know. That because no one's going to buy that because it's personalized to me. You would have to find another Mike in order to sell that to that person thing. But so somebody asked me a while ago about selling DCAU DVDs that are autographed. And I'm like, don't do it. It's not worth it. The signatures, like, especially if they're personalized to you, if it has your name on it and then their signature, it is absolutely not worth it. You got that autograph for you.
Yeah, you know, that's my thing. Is like I couldn't, like, I've got autographs, like I've got them from like I'm trying to think of their names now. I know I got David Kaye's. I got a photo with Frank Welker. I've gotten autographs from Bob Budiansky, Scott McNeil. And a plethora of other people. There's no way I'd give up those. Like, even if I don't have them displayed, like, I'm not getting rid of my autograph stuff.
Yeah.
If they just
anyone goes
a lot.
Good. Yeah, exactly. If anyone goes over to my YouTube channel, which is, like, I haven't used in years, but I at least have some of the old, I actually went through and deleted a bunch of videos because YouTube a while ago was like, oh my God, if you don't do this, the whole mark for kids thing, mark not safe for kids. I'm like, okay, I'll just delete all this then because.
Well, you mark it not safe for kids and then it's fine.
Well, right. Yeah. But at first I was like, I'll just delete some of it. And then I did mark not safe. Because I found out how you can do that for the entire channel, not just each individual video. But anyway, if you go over to my YouTube channel and you look at my 2017 tour of where I was living at the time in the apartment in Louisville, on one of my walls, I have something that my mom got in 1986 when I was 6 years old, which was part of the autograph package for David Hasselhoff. I have a framed, signed to Michael. David Hassel, it's an 8x10 photo of the guy. You know how you used to always get the 8x10 glossies of either stars or radio personalities or that kind? It's basically that kind of picture. Like, I would never take that anywhere because it has my name on it with his signature.
No, and it means a lot to you.
Exactly.
It's like the David Kaye thing. Like, there's no way I'd sell it. Like, I honestly want one of those, like, things where it goes, yes. but I just can't. Yeah, it's $30, and I don't have that. So, I don't know. It's the fact that they took their time to do it, even if you had to pay for it. Like, it's the fact that you had to take your time to ask for it. So, exactly. To me, I honestly would not part with it. So I totally agree with him there.
Yeah, and I mean, even if Steve Bloom or anybody else that's in voice acting or whatever else, if they want to offer a service where they're like, hey, if you provide postage, you know, or whatever, kind of like how, didn't you a couple of years ago buy something from David Kaye or something?
I bought some autographed photos.
Right, exactly. So you bought the autographed photos. Did he personalize them to you, or was it just his?
Yeah, he personalized
them.
I was perfectly fine with that.
No, absolutely. See, that's the thing. Like, you can do something like that. If you want the guy's autograph or the lady's autograph or whoever's autograph, and they offer a service of, hey, I'll autograph this stuff for you, then do it. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, as long as they're offering it, and especially now with the world we live in, with the whole virus, and even though we're not really on lockdown right now,
it still feels like we should be, but we're not. You know, most people are not wanting to go out of their house unless they absolutely have to still.
Pretty much.
I know I've always been that way, where if I don't have to go out of the house, I won't, kind of thing. So the virus for me didn't change how I felt about it at all. Now I know you guys used to go to parks and
we go to parks still.
Well, right, but I'm saying
we go to the national parks and stuff like that. So, but yeah,
I mean, it's just one of those things where I don't know. It just seems like conventions at this point. I've always wanted to go to San Diego, to BotCon, to whatever. But now with the whole, gatherings of 50 people or less, like, I don't want to deal with the crowds. I actually enjoy, even though I watched only bits and pieces of the Comic-Con and home panels that I watched, I still enjoyed watching it because I could do it on my time and I can always go back to it. I don't have to be locked into, you have from Thursday to Sunday to see everything you can possibly see in this 100 or 200,000 square foot or however big San Diego is. You know, like, the biggest thing for me with San Diego Comic-Con is that over the years, it's gotten so big that San Diego Comic-Con is essentially Disneyland or Disney World. You have to pick and choose what you want to do, because unless you're, you know, a rich orange asshat, you really can't afford to do every single thing.
Can't afford it anyway. Most people can't afford it, like, in general.
So. Well, yeah. So, but yeah, 7 years, man. Jeez. Feels like just yesterday you started this show.
Yeah, it does, quite honestly. Of course, it always centers around a Batman movie, so who knows? speaking of masks.
Okay, that's not where I was going to go with that, but sure.
It says, and this is a funny one about face masks, so don't get up in arms, anybody. I'm not mocking it. I'm just saying this is funny as far as what it's caused. Face masks are breaking facial recognition algorithms, says new government study. Yay! Because I'm not a big fan of facial recognition technology. Because I think it's kind of, it should be illegal, because, like, it's, yeah, I think that's like an invasion of privacy. So, mass surveillance for the lose. So, that's like one good thing that I find with the masks, is that you're free from being spied on by pretty much everybody. Walmart, Kroger, government, street signs.
Well, you can't enter any of those places unless you're wearing one, so.
I know, so it's all the better that, you know, you're not allowed to get my face either.
It's so funny, and I think I mentioned this a couple episodes ago or whatever else, but I went in for a sleep study, finally. I kind of already figured out that I have severe sleep apnea. It is what it is. So I went in for the sleep study. The technician that was supposed to meet me at the door to let, you know, bring me into the thing was like, oh, well, if I don't see you or I don't recognize you from, you know, your ID picture, which that's the one good thing about this whole virus thing, I'll say, about the whole medical profession, is everything's online. Here, we need your driver's license or your photo ID. Just take a picture of it with your phone and like – the whole paperwork thing for having to go to the doctor is all online now. I absolutely love that. But anyway, I had to like take my mask off for half a second and just show her, hey, look, it's me. She goes, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm like, yeah, I don't know how you were going to recognize me with this thing on.
With this tomato on my face.
Yeah, exactly. But no, you mentioned the Altered Geek and the Batman movies and whatever else. 7 years ago, you and Mike Powers started with the BS that is BVS, and now we just got the trailer dropped for the interactive Batman Death in the Family direct-to-video DVD. Did you see the trailer?
I didn't see the trailer. I didn't. I heard.
So I think I posted the trailer on all of our – on Geekcast Radio Network's Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else, so you can probably go back and watch the trailer. But basically – it's similar to what the Carmen Sandiego thing—not the television show series, but they did a "Choose Your Own Adventure" Carmen Sandiego special on Netflix.
Didn't they get in trouble for all that?
I don't think so.
Because, like, I know Netflix got in trouble for it for Black Mirror or something like that.
I've never paid attention to Black Mirror, so I have no clue.
Well, the thing is "Choose Your Own Adventure." If they use that title, it's owned by a company called Choose Your Own.
Okay.
Well, and they can sue anybody that uses it. So I'm just kind of curious.
I honestly do not remember. I know it was, I think they call them interactive adventures now, or that's interactive something way, or whatever it is. I honestly do not remember. But the point is that this new movie, did I put it on the GCRN? I guess I didn't. I guess I'll have to. Anyway, it's basically Death in the Family, and instead of calling a 900 number like back in the 80s or 90s, you can actually choose whether Robin dies, whether Batman saves him, whether he comes back from the dead. You know, you have three different choices of what happens to Jason Todd Robin within this movie, and there's multiple endings that you'll be able to see. So I don't know. I think it's kind of lazy for a movie to do that, but whatever.
I mean, it's interesting. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
I like the concept. I just don't see it applying necessarily to that.
So another thing that kind of dropped at Comic-Con is that apparently G4 is returning in 2021.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, okay, I could get behind that. What I miss from it is they had this show that's actually how I got introduced to Unreal Tournament 2004, mm-hmm. is they had a game show where they kind of had teams play the game deathmatch style against each other on it. And so I liked that show. And that's actually, I think, where Kevin Pereira came from before he became, like, the host of the Screensavers Attack of the Show or whatever. I think it's funny that Leo Laporte took back the name the Screensavers after G4, like, had bought out Tech TV, which had bought out ZDNet or ZDTV.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Yes, we are ZDTV. Old.
And Tech TV. But anyways, yeah, I think that idea is kind of neat to come back for a new generation.
Yep. And what else? let's see. Sadly, not that I want to end the episode on a sad note, but Regis Philbin passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very sad. As far as I know, not due to the virus.
No, he died of old age.
Okay, there's that.
So that's a plus. He didn't die of unnatural causes.
No.
He wasn't the weakest link. He wanted to be a millionaire, but unfortunately, that doesn't save you from that. Bad joke. Sorry.
Wow. Well, it's nice to know Altered Geek really hasn't changed all that much in 7 years.
Not really. But anyways, yeah, it is sad that he died. It's because I know that he was like a cultural icon for a number of people.
I mean, multiple generations, especially with his morning show, his live show, because it used to originally, when I remembered, it was live with Regis and Kathy Lee.
Yeah.
Because it was Regis and Kathy Lee Gifford, and then obviously it was Regis and Kelly because Kelly Ripa came on, and now it's live with Yeah, now it's like Live with Kelly and Ryan or something, I forget.
Yeah, they keep changing. It's funny because they gave one guy like the shot at it, and he's like, he was there for like a month and a half, and he's like, oh, I'm going to Good Morning America.
Yeah.
So
was that Michael Strahan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never cared for that guy.
I never cared for him either, but I thought it was kind of humorous that he's like, oh, I used you for the bumping step to get to the better show. The one that everybody pays attention to. I don't care for either one of them. I find them both like I don't know. I don't find any of them very entertaining. But
when Regis was on, yes. I loved Regis and Kelly because it was so not just the age gap, but the difference of their experiences and what was going on in their lives at the time.
Yeah.
That, you know, I love that contrast on the show. It's funny. Jeopardy is running, classic, they're doing Out of the Vault stuff. And as of this recording, Monday, July 27th, they ran the episode where Regis Philbin was on Celebrity Jeopardy with Alex, and I forget who else was on, and I got to watch that.
But I thought you were going to say Celebrity Deathmatch, and I was like, what?
No. No.
Next time on Celebrity Deathmatch. Anyway.
Regis Philbin versus Pat Sajak and Alex Trebek in a triple threat.
Against Ryan Seacrest, Nick Cannon, and...
and CeeLo Green. Oh God.
The old squad destroys the new one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
There ain't no school like the old school.
No. But you know, say the V. But I guess that about rounds out this episode.
Yes, it does.
So what were some things that people found entertaining at Comic-Con? That's what I would like to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are some things that I possibly missed? Because, let's face it, I didn't watch all of it, so I probably missed quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
So, what would you like to pimp out for this episode?
Let's see. I don't know. 12 years of all things Transformers. The pullbag has made a sort of return. Not really, but sort of. It's kind of nice that I, and luckily, and I appreciate them being able to do this. Episode 381 and 382. Actually, you edited episode 381. But episode... what episode was that? I don't remember. Anyway, two of the episodes recently, and one of those that's coming up, I actually got other people to edit for me that wasn't you or I, because I can't currently edit. But yeah, episodes 381 and 382 are coming up. They're both origins of comic reading episodes. I'm not really doing anything else other than whatever you and I do together at this point, because my computer is still in storage. Hopefully with this next stimulus package, we can get that storage unit out here and I can actually have my computer back. Of course, that scares the hell out of me because it has to go through so many damn updates because it hasn't been updated since December of last year.
I think there's only been four.
It didn't break anything.
I'm still using everything, so there's that.
That's good.
So, that's about it, I think. So, until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.